So I've been here 6 months now, and one of the blessings of being the new guy and listening and watching and getting to know the church here is just seeing how God's at work. God's at work in many ways here at the church, and it's exciting to me that we're at a point where we want to tell some of those stories in a new way. So we're trying to film some of these stories of how God's working in our lives, because I just want to help us lift up and tell those stories of what God's doing, so that when we all hear these stories, we can say, oh, well, he's doing that in my life too. Or maybe we'll say, I want to see that. Hopefully we'll have new eyes to see how God's at work around us and celebrate that. We glorify him and we celebrate with each other when we're able to tell these stories. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that this new year. So God is at work around us, amen? Amen. So I'm Tim Broyles, and that's my story. Frankly, I was a little gun-shy in having my face shown up there, and who likes to hear their own voice, right? But this short video is meant to be an introduction to you to something much bigger, a teaser, if you will, or a trailer. We already have 4 more similar stories like that filmed and ready to show you over the next 4 weeks. They're stories of what's happening in our lives around here. How is God at work in our midst? We want to share those stories, as you just heard me say. God is at work in the ministries at Dexter United Methodist Church, and we want to tell his stories. We want to sing his song and praise his name. You can call it singing his song, you can call it giving a testimony or telling his story, but it's all about him and giving him the appropriate glory. Now, this past month of December, we've been blessed with Pastor Matt teaching us through songs in Scripture related to the birth of Jesus. And during Advent, Pastor Matt shared us Mary's song, if you remember, and Zechariah and Elizabeth's song. And then on Christmas Eve, he shared the angel's song. Where I'm going in my message today is I want to challenge you for growth for the new year. This message today is about you and your relationship with God. And I pray that you get a few points of application and challenge that will bless you this year. As a transition from these songs of Christmas, as I just mentioned, and into this new year, and to set the scene, I want to briefly share with you 2 more songs found in Scripture related to the birth of Jesus. And they're both found in Luke chapter 2. Now, if you want to follow along in your sanctuary Bible, that's found on page 1015 and 16, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. That's where I'm going to be spending most of our time today, is in Luke chapter 2. Now, let's first of all put Luke chapter 2 in perspective. It's a fascinating chapter to us. And you've likely read this chapter many times in your life, maybe even in the last few weeks. And you certainly have as you've looked at Christmas. Even the classic Charlie Brown's Christmas reads and quotes verbatim the first half of Luke chapter 2. Thank you, Linus. We appreciate you bringing that to secular TV and all that. Luke chapter 2 has the story of the manger and the wise men and the shepherds. The Gospel of Matthew agrees with it and also adds the details of the Magi and the escape to Egypt and then Lazarus, or the eventual return to Nazareth when Jesus was young. Now, the Gospel of Mark and John don't have any of the Christmas story. They pick up right where Jesus is a grown adult. So we have this beautiful story of Christmas in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, but that's not all it has. I already mentioned that Matthew had some, but other than that, Luke has the only other account of anything we read that happens in Jesus' life prior to his public ministry when he's 30. And all is right there in Luke chapter 2. Fascinating. Now, the 2 short songs I mentioned that I want to tell you about both happen in Luke chapter 2. It's when Joseph and Mary take infant Jesus to the temple to be presented to God, as faithful Jewish parents would do. And on the steps of the temple, Luke tells us, is an aged man named Simeon. He has been a faithful follower of Yahweh, and it's been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that before he dies, he will have the privilege of laying eyes on the Messiah. Now, that's a big deal, because at this point in time, it's been 400 years since we've heard anything from God. We have the Scriptures, what you and I call the Old Testament. They have the Scriptures, and there's been nothing written or said for 400 years. And so for Simeon to get this message from the Holy Spirit that he's going to get to lay eyes on the promised Messiah is a big promise for him, wouldn't you think? So the Spirit reveals to him that day, leads him to the temple, and when he sees this baby Jesus, the truth is revealed to him. And Scripture records, Simeon took him in his arms. I just picture him cradling the baby, don't you? Took him in his arms and praised God. And this is Simeon's song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. In other words, Simeon is saying, I have had such an encounter with God that my life is complete. I am fulfilled. I'm satisfied. What can earthly life possibly present to me now that I have seen the hope of the future? Our salvation. Thank you, Lord. I'm really inspired by that passage. I would like to experience in my life that same kind of completion. Wouldn't you? That fulfillment that I have seen all that the Lord can offer to me. What can earth possibly bring to me? Right? Now, Luke goes on to record a prophecy from Simeon. And then the other song that I mentioned is also there in chapter 2. It's a woman named Anna. And she was also at the temple and evidently has a similar story to Simeon. Luke tells us that Anna was a prophet, 84 years old, it says. And she too recognized this young boy as the promised Messiah. Anna's song is that, it's right here. Have I got it up there? Next screen, I guess, will be. There it is. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. I underline worship night and day and fasting and praying because we're going to come back to that later. Let's hang on to the songs of Simeon and Anna, and we'll look at the text a little farther and then come back to that. Now, up to this point in chapter 2, all this birth of Jesus, we might call this, if we were subtitling it, Jesus the baby. Is that fair? This has been about the birth of Jesus. And at the end of this story, Luke records in verse 40 that Jesus grew. That's really all we know about those early years, except for what I already said about Matthew recording the return to Nazareth. So verse 40 is about Jesus growing, and that's up until he's 12. When Luke gives us the other story we all know, have heard, of Jesus' childhood and his adolescence. The only other text we have until his ministry starts at age 30. So let's call this subtitle, Jesus the Adolescent. And that's the story we've heard where Jesus is 12, and they again go to the temple, this time for a festival. And when the group leaves to go home, Jesus stays behind so he can talk with the men. It's a few days before the parents realize, because it's a caravan they're traveling in, it's a few days before they realize he's not with them. And they return to the temple to find their son, and they have that famous line we know, what Jesus says. He says what? I must be in my father's house. So as a mom, she thinks about that. Luke says that she treasures these things in her heart. And that's the last we have of that story until Luke 2:52, which is the pivotal closing verse of this chapter. And it summarizes the next 18 years of Jesus' life. We could, through his teen years and through his young adult years, we could call this subtitle Jesus the Young Man. Is that fair? And it summarizes those years in just a short sentence or two, a few words. It's the key verse of my message today. And it's an important, pivotal verse in life. It says, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and was favored by God and man. That's a short sentence to summarize 18 years, isn't it? We've heard that before, and it probably sounds familiar to some other things we've heard before. That famous passage for the Jewish nation, Israel, the land of Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and your soul and your strength. Now later, when Jesus is questioned by the Pharisees as to what is the greatest commandment, he refers back to this, doesn't he? It's in Matthew 22. And he adds to it. Jesus replied to the question. He said, the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now we call that passage what? The great commandment. It's what Jesus tells us to do. He's telling us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a legalistic checklist. It's really saying with all your person, with your whole person, love God and love others, right? It's basically a carryover from this adulthood, this Luke 2:52, where Jesus is to grow in wisdom and stature and love by God and man. Now, we could summarize that in a little bit here, that Jesus grew in wisdom. Let's categorize that. The next screen there is, there we go. Balanced life. It's what I learned this verse originally back when I was on staff in Youth for Christ 30-some years ago. And this was a verse we would talk with the teens about, that Jesus grew in a balanced life with wisdom. I would submit that that is anything that relates to your mind. It's obviously what we learn. It's our mental state. It's our emotional state. It's what we learn and study and grow, anything related to our mind. Now, stature would be obviously the body, but it's also related to anything physical in your life, anything that affects your body, what you put in your body, how you treat it, where it goes, where it lives, what it drives. Those kind of things are physical and tangible we could put under stature. In favor with God would be obviously spiritual. All those things relating to our relationship with God and how we learn and grow and apply and serve and all that that's related to our relationship with God. And in favor with man would be called social. It's all those relationships we have. It's a relationship with our family, our spouse, our kids, our parents, our neighbors, our coworkers, and yes, the rest of the world. It's about being a social person. You know, this sounds a lot like our Dexter UMC mission statement, doesn't it? Do you have that memorized yet? It's 10 words. Love God, love people, and serve the world for Jesus Christ. It's all right there again. You could say that the love God is obviously the spiritual side of the equation. Love people is obviously the relationship side of the equation. And we have a screen on this one too, I believe. And serving the world for Jesus Christ would be with our body and what it does and also with our mind. So all four of those are there again. Do we have that screen with the mission statement on it there? There you go. See that? Love God, love people, serve the world for Jesus Christ. All those four are there. It's, again, your whole person. These are not itemized, separated, isolated things. They relate. There's overlap, isn't there, with these things. You don't necessarily just grow in one of these areas. You grow in all. When you grow in one, it affects the others. And when we suffer in one, we can be tested in the others. Yes? So my prayer for each of you this year is that you know where you are in these areas, in this balanced life, and in relationship with God. That you can be honest with yourself, take an inventory, and ask yourself, where are you in these four areas, this balanced life idea that we're talking about? The first important thing, of course, is our salvation, growing close to Christ and understanding that He is our pathway back to God and accepting His gift of grace. But then the next step is growing in that knowledge and growing in that what we call sanctification, getting closer to God, taking positive steps toward Him. That's what we're talking about here as we grow in the balance of life. It was good enough for Jesus, right? He grew in wisdom, and He grew in stature, and He grew in favor with God and man. He wasn't stagnant, so we too can grow. My prayer for you this year is that you grow closer to our Lord Jesus Christ in increasing measure, that you can continue to grasp His love for you individually, that He would do and has done anything to reach you. He loves you and wants you in relationship with you, with Him, and growing in that. His way is perfect for you. And the only thing really getting in its way of growing is your own stubbornness and my own stubbornness. We let ourselves get in the way. We let ourselves get distracted, don't we? We think we can do it on our own, We think our plans are a little clearer and therefore a little better. And we might give him lip service and say we follow, and then we walk away and don't think about it for days at a time or weeks or months or years. My prayer for you is that his grace is sufficient for you, that you can more completely understand his joy that surpasses all understanding. And I'm not talking about some surfacey Happy New Year that's dependent upon external circumstances, because happiness is based on external things. No, I pray for joy for you that comes from knowing that you are right with God and growing in that relationship, that he is in charge of your life, he has a hand on your life, and that he draws you closer to himself. So I pray as we start a new year that 2018 is not just another year of life, but it's a year of growth for you in all these areas, but especially in the spiritual side, because they all are connected. I pray this year that you fall more in love with Jesus, that you grasp his love for you. Is that what you want? I heard some amens. Do you want to find more perspective in life this year? Do you want more love in the new year? Do you want fuller joy this year? Do you want more and deeper peace? Do you want more sincere patience? Do you want more heartfelt kindness? Do you want more goodness to be who you are? Do you want truer faithfulness in your relationships? Do you want genuine gentleness to be part of your experience? Do you want to have greater self-control? I would submit that none of those things are ones that we naturally can control. They're not just from saying I'm going to be a better person and setting goals and resolutions. You don't become a kinder person just by saying I'm going to be a kinder person. These things are really more a result of drawing closer to God and allowing him to work in us so that it comes from within. And so then the reflection of his character coming out of us. The book of Galatians says that there are what? A fruit of the Spirit that's coming from investing our relationship with him. So as we give up our selfish ways and our self-directed processes, we allow his Spirit to work in us and give us these fruits of his character. And I pray that you can have that in increasing measure this year. Well, how do you do that? How do you yield yourself to his ways? I challenge you this year to do something you've never done before when it comes to spiritual growth, or maybe haven't done for a long time. Set yourself up for spiritual growth. We sometimes call these the spiritual disciplines. Now, before you get scared by disciplines, let me just give you a warning. One of the quotes I found in preparing this was from the great author, Christian author, Jerry Bridges, who wrote The Pursuit of Holiness, if you know that book. He once wrote, "When I was first introduced to the idea of discipleship, I was given a list of 7 spiritual disciplines I should practice every day, including the daily quiet time, scripture memorization, Bible study, and prayer. But I came to believe that my relationship with God depended on how faithfully I performed these disciplines. And soon, I was passing on this legalistic attitude to those I was seeking to disciple." Now, friends, I am not advocating any legalism here. There's nothing that we need. I meet so many people who get frustrated by, "I just wish I had a better quiet time. I'm a bad Christian." That's not what we're talking about here. It's not a legalistic thing. And I'm not imposing my disciplines on you, just as you wouldn't impose your discipleship processes onto me, right? It's about where you are with God. What do you need to grow? That is what's important. Now, disciplines are really spiritual exercises. The word discipline comes from the word gymnasia, which obviously we get the word gymnasium and gymnastics. It means to exercise. And when you look at it that way, it gives fuller meaning to the passage in 1 Timothy 4, which says, "Exercise thyself into godliness." These spiritual disciplines are like going to the gym to build strength. And anymore, when you go to a gym, you get what? You get a personalized trainer the first time or two, right? And they'll help you design a program from where you are and what you need for your body to grow. It's the same idea here that I would encourage you to. Where you are is where you need to begin in spiritual growth. Do you want to grow this year in wisdom? Do you want to grow in stature and in favor with God and man? It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. Spiritual discipline specifically is like finding ways to place yourself in the path of God's grace. Now, I get that quote from one of these books. These are the two books I've come to love. I read both of them the first time 25 years ago or so. One is A Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. The other one is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donna Whitney. And they have helped transform my understanding of what these spiritual disciplines are and how to apply them. Whitney says in his book, Whitney says in his book that they are like channels of transforming God's grace. And I like how Foster puts it in the introduction to his book. He refers to the Apostle Paul's words in Galatians when he says, "He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now we all know sowing and reaping really is kind of an agricultural reference, isn't it? It's about farming. Farmers are helpless to grow the grain. They just set the conditions right, right? The growing is actually from nature, from the Lord. All we can do is provide the right conditions for the growing of grain. We can cultivate the ground, we can plant the seed, and we can water it. And then the natural forces take over, and up comes the grain. And the disciplines of God's way are similar. His job, our job, is to get into the ground, cultivate ourselves, to put us where God can work in us and where he can bless us and do the growing. Foster goes on to explain in his book. He says the path of disciplined grace is grace because it's free. It's discipline because there's something for us to do. The grace is unearned and unearnable. But if we expect to grow in his grace, we must pay the price of a chosen course of action. Here's a key passage, a key thought. Spiritual growth is the purpose of spiritual discipline. Spiritual growth in these areas is the purpose of our spiritual discipline. And as we allow God to work in our hearts and allow us to grow, this fruit we talk about matures. It comes from within, God working in us. We no longer have to make resolutions and work hard at being good and kind because we're changing and we are good and kind. Do you see the difference? It's not external, it's internal. It comes from within. It's a difference between that external resolution to change and the internal character change that God's blessing us in. Our Lord Jesus, as a young adult, was balanced. He grew in these things. If it's good enough for him, I want to grow too. Don't you? Now let's go back to where we started today with the two songs, Simeon and Anna. The text said that Simeon was growing in faith. He wasn't necessarily some spiritual leader or hero. He was evidently an average man who the word implies was growing in spiritual discipline. It says he was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Wow. Growing in the Spirit? What does that mean? What does it mean when it says the Holy Spirit was on him? I wonder, what does that look like, that the Holy Spirit is on someone? Of whom would you say the Holy Spirit is on him? The Holy Spirit is on her? Who have you known like that? Have you known someone, or do you know someone now? The Holy Spirit is on them. Who comes to mind first? Who would be the Simeon in this church? What do you admire about their life and about their walk with God? Probably one of the things you admire is they're growing. They're alive in Christ. Amen? Then let's look at Anna. It says that Anna worshipped day and night. That's what I underlined, remember? And she fasted and prayed. Those are disciplines. We don't know much about Anna, but the text, for some reason, informs us that at this stage in life, she's widowed now for 7 years, and she's 84. And it says she's a prophet. Now, that's a big word. We don't know anything else about her family or history, but we do know that at this point in life, she is committed to three things. One, being in the house of the Lord, and two, worshiping, and 3, fasting and prayer. That's who she is in her growth at this time in her life. And so these two otherwise common people were ready to recognize Christ, even at his young age, because they were ready and they had eyes to see. They were growing. They weren't key characters in the story, except that they were included as examples of faithful people who were blessed because they were planted in the spiritual disciplines of being prepared. They were on the pathway of God. As I've said, I've got these two favorite books, in addition to the Bible, on spiritual disciplines. And I'm rereading them both. Started a couple months ago. And I'm applying some of those disciplines that I've let dry up over the years. I've reestablished my discipline of journaling. This is my current journal. I've filled up maybe, 30 of these over the last 20-some years. I started 27 years ago. And I let it dry up a couple years ago. So I have restarted that discipline. I started up on the treadmill again, if you will. And I'm writing now every day or two so I can get back in the habit of writing those thoughts and prayers and seeing how God is working in my life. Such a blessing. I'm finding joy in the exercise. And as I read these two books again, I have decided to lead a class on this topic of spiritual disciplines. It's going to start on January 21st at the 11 o'clock hour. And it's one of 12 classes that we're going to be offering this winter semester, starting next week and then 2 weeks after that, a few more. 12 classes. They're all going to run through Easter. And in addition to those classes, there will be 37 other small groups that you can be part of this next semester, this next winter term here, either on a weekend night or weeknight at home or here at the church. 37. Now, starting next week, we're going to have a big promotion of all this. And on the wall there, the temporary wall, will be a poster and registration for all these groups and classes. So you can look at the one that fits where you are in your growth process and sign up. I invite you to be part of the one I'm leading on spiritual disciplines. There will be an open house next week. You can come up and see the newly completed second floor of the education wing, and you can see the different rooms where the classes will be. And we'll have an insert next weekend with all these classes and groups that you can look at in a quick synopsis of what it's about, or you look at more detail on the website. We're keeping the website current with all of our classes and groups. Every week we keep it current. So you can go to dexterumc.org and then just click grow, and you'll see the link for classes and the link for groups, and they're always current. So you can see the groups that are available. Those that are full are not on there, but those that are available, you can be part of that. So that all starts next week. So I encourage you to, like that farmer, plant yourself. Get the soil ready and plant yourself in a way that the Holy Spirit has room to work in your life. Now, as an example on these groups, one of our groups, our newest men's group that started a couple months ago, that meets on Thursdays, they felt convicted in their study a few weeks back about this idea of Luke 2:52. And they decided that as men, they wanted to set some new goals for the year to get themselves ready to grow. And we have a screen here that the group put together. I just got this draft a couple days ago. I know you can't read it. It's too detailed for the screen. But you can at least read the columns. It says 2018 Personal Roadmap. And then it quotes Luke 2:52, and then the green columns there are, guess what? Wisdom, stature, and loved by God, or favor with God and favor with man. And then under that are some samples that each guy can do to personalize what they're going to do, whether it's being part of this group every week, or praying daily, or praying with my spouse, whatever it is. It's not legalistic, it's about a personalized plan for where they are. And we can all do that, can't we? What area do you need to grow in, and where can you grow? And if a group is not for you at this time, then look at some other spiritual discipline you can do, a Bible reading on your own, or prayer, meditation on Scripture, greater stewardship, or greater sharing of your faith with others, or some other discipline. The point is, allow God to break through your shell of independence that we all can build up, the old habits that keep coming back. Let God break through that. Allow him to transform you and draw you closer to himself. I encourage you on New Year's Eve, write it down. You've got a bulletin in front of you with some extra space. If something I've said has spurred an idea for you, write it down right now. We're going to have a hymn of commitment here in a couple minutes. You can take that time and write down further thoughts. Maybe you want to put it in your phone, your to-do list, however you do that. Set yourself a way to evaluate where you are and what is the roadmap you can do to prepare yourself to be drawn closer to God. We're going to tell these stories. I'll summarize kind of how I introduced this today. We're going to be celebrating these stories. We're going to keep looking for how God is working in our life here at church. We're going to tell the stories of folks that are being touched by God. We've shared the stories of Simeon and Anna today. We looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and the angels this last month. Let's continue to sing that song. Look for it. You'll see it. God is at work amongst us. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to take a new year and evaluate where we are. Lord, help each of us to be honest with ourselves. What habits do we need to break? What has become independent and selfish in our life? Lord, help us to set that aside and to exercise our spiritual growth, Lord. Whether it's spending more time with you or setting ourselves aside or praying or reading or talking with others, Lord, you know, we know what it is. Would your Spirit speak that to us and help us to make new plans so we can be prepared for your Spirit to grow? I pray that for each person here in Jesus' name.